Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church of Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any other popular podcast platforms. This week, Pastor Russ brings us a sermon called Does Prayer Really Change Anything? It comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15.
Hey, this morning, wondering what you prayed for this morning. Did anybody here, you don't have to raise your hand. Anybody pray for weather? And, you know, did somebody pray, God, make sure it doesn't rain today? My guess is that has more to do with whether you are on the barbecue and fireworks side of the equation, or if you are on the farmer who needs rain, or the fire department that's worried about all those people firing off fireworks. How is it that we can have people praying for two different things? What does God do with that? When we go to the store, we're at Costco and we're in a hurry, and you know that parking lot. How many of us have ever raised a prayer, oh God, just let me find a parking spot in this zip code this week sometime? Knowing that there are probably other people who are praying the exact same prayer for the exact same mythical spot. How many of us pray for a team to win, or if we're on a team, to play well and to win? How many of us pray for our political parties to win? How many pray for our country to win? Knowing that there are people who are praying the exact same prayer on it, who are rooting for a different team, a different party, and a different country. What do we do with competing prayers? When we pray, we expect something to change. Does God really change things when we pray? How would that happen? It's one thing to be praying for a parking space. What happens when it's much more serious? What happens when you're waiting for a heart or a liver or a kidney for a transplant? Knowing that we are praying for an opening, and that means that someone is going to have to die, and that means that someone else on that list is going to not get that same thing. Competing prayers are one of those things that begins to seep into our soul as we grow up, or it should. As we ask ourselves, what are we doing? Why are we praying? What am I praying for? What do I really expect to happen? And it's one of those things that tends to, when we think about it, one of our responses is to maybe just stop. We can't resolve it. And then we begin to think that maybe that's just childish. Or maybe we double down. Maybe we decide that what we need is we need more people praying for us. If we're going to somehow dissuade, get God on our side, we need to somehow get God's attention. So I send out a newsletter to everybody I know and ask everybody to pray. Maybe God will answer my prayer, and maybe that's what will sway it. Or maybe I just need to make sure I am praying with the right kind and the right amount of faith. If this seems a little silly to you, let me assure you, there are books on bookshelves filling whole rows of shelves on Christian living that talk about prayer in just that way. How is it that we are supposed to get God's attention? How is it we're supposed to somehow get God to somehow pay attention to us and then give us what we ask? And how many of us have done all those things and then come to this place and go, it didn't work? Why even try? That's really the context of our passage this morning. Of course, it's the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord's Prayer doesn't just exist all by itself in the scriptures. In Matthew, it exists as a whole part of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. It's right in the middle of it, in fact, which should tell us something. And it also talks about when you pray, and let me get to this part here. When you pray, it says, don't pray like the Gentiles, Jesus says. Now, the Gentiles are just the others. There's us and there's them. They're them. But more than that, what it infers is we are the people who know God. We are the people with a history with God. We are the people who understand how God works. These are the people who don't. They have a certain way of praying. Don't pray like that. You know better. And what you know better, Jesus implies, is don't just keep praying or think that the number of words that you're going to pray is somehow going to affect God. The common way of praying, the common understanding of prayer is that I am here and God is up there. And God is not only separate from me, but God is distracted. God is doing God things, you know, whatever God does. And my job, our job, when there is a prayer need, is somehow to pray and to get God's attention so that God, who is up there, will turn around, notice the situation, and then maybe come down here and fix it. Don't pray that way, Jesus says. You know better. You know better because you know that God already knows what you want. You know that when you're praying, you're not trying to change God's mind because God's mind doesn't need changing. This morning, I'm going to talk about what it is that Jesus recommends. If not that, then what? And we're going to be using the Lord's Prayer. We're going to be using that prayer through the next several weeks because this prayer, even though we tend to just rattle it off, we say it here every week. We're going to say it at the end of the service again today. And it's part of our liturgy. It's part of so that we're all giving voice to the same thing. And there's good reason for that. There's reasons that we give it to our kids to pray so that it becomes a formative kind of thing. Great. There's a reason for that. But if we just leave it there, then it doesn't really affect life a whole lot. And it doesn't matter how many times we pray it. Don't pray like that, Jesus says. Pray like this. And he gives us a prayer that when we begin to unwind it, unfold it, unpack it, we realize that in this prayer is this amazing course and curriculum on what prayer is and who God is and who we are. And more than that, it becomes the antidote. It becomes part of the answer that caused us to pray in the first place. And all you have to do is go to the first two words of this prayer. All you have to do is start there and understand that Jesus is talking about something that is completely different. Don't pray as if you've got to somehow get God's attention and the more prayers and that God is up there. Who you are praying to, Jesus says, you are praying to a Father, a heavenly Father. And he uses that colloquial word Abba, which means dad, papa, pops. You use the phrase that you would use for an affectionate term. And I know there's a lot, and with good reason, of conversation about why is God Father? Is God masculine? No, of course not. God isn't masculine. God isn't feminine. It happened to be the word that Jesus chose. It's how Jesus knew God, in the sense of something that has nothing to do with gender, and has everything to do with intimacy. Abba. God is the father of our soul, the mother of our being. And even saying that doesn't get it, does it? Jesus says, no, it's closer than that. It is the one to whom you can draw. It is the source of strength. It is the one who knows you, and as it says in the book of Acts, knows us better than we know ourselves. That's pretty close. The point, and where this has been abused, and we're well aware of all the places where this gets abused, where somehow we enshrine a notion of masculinity and say, well, that's God. God's a father, so that's who we are, and now we get to do those things. And all we're doing is projecting sometimes the very worst of who we are and saying that's who God is. It's not to enshrine our own version of masculine. It is to let that inform what it means to be a father or a mother, parent, family. What if rather than fighting over the words, we allowed that the character that Jesus is giving us of God, who is close, who is intimate, who is compassionate, who's merciful, who knows us, who champions us, who draws close to us before we even know we need God to draw close? What if that became not only our image of God, but of who we're to become? It might change something. Here's what Jesus says in this prayer, and this isn't the last or the only word on prayer in the Bible, but in this word, this one prayer that is so central to the understanding of prayer, Jesus says, here's the quintessential prayer. When you pray, do things change? Yes. Let me tell you what never changes in prayer, according to Jesus, is God. We don't pray to change God's mind. That's how they do it. That's how they who don't know God do it. That's how they who don't have that history and that don't have that experience. That's how they don't do that. Prayer changes things, but never God. Prayer doesn't even change God's mind about us. If only God would listen, if only God, then this would happen. And God would then pay attention. Then God would care. God would heal. God would help. Don't do that, Jesus says. You're praying to a God who already knows what you want, what you need. God even knows what we're going to want and need tomorrow before we want and need it. So now when you come, pray this way. Pray because the first thing that maybe needs to change is our image of God itself. That we are not praying to some distant deity that is up there, because that means that down here isn't sacred. That means that down here is vacant of God and God's grace and God's presence. Don't do that, Jesus says. Pray this way. Pray and change first the image of God. When Jesus gives us this prayer, Jesus is telling us that the prayer doesn't change God's mind about us, but it is trying to change our mind about God. It is trying to change our mind about God and the God to whom we come and the God who we can pour our heart out to, our hurts and our hopes. Even if we don't know what they are or what they should be, we get to come to the one who is intimate, the father of our soul, the mother of our being, the source of our essence, the one who gives and sustains life, every breath of it. That's how we begin to shape the way we pray. Not as desperate, pleading children who are somehow trying to get the attention of a negligent parent, but the one who live in the knowledge and the presence of those who know they are loved and surrounded. It begins there, but it doesn't stop there. Because not only is Jesus trying to change our image about who God is, God is trying to change our image about ourselves and our neighbor, our Father. Our Father implies that we are not here all by ourselves. Our Father implies that when we are praying, we are not just praying just for me or my, that there is a seismic shift that takes place in our soul where it's not that the self isn't important, it's just not all important. And it means that I begin to surrender and yield, or sometimes the Bible even talks about dying to ourselves, that's what it's talking about. And this prayer becomes the means by which I become aware of not just my own needs in front and before the God who loves me and cares, but that I am part of something larger. I have a prayer practice for you this week. And it's based on, It's based on this understanding that's found in the Lord's Prayer. It's found throughout the teachings of the church. One of the early teachers, Plotinus, you know him. But listen to this, 200 years AD, and he's saying things that sound like they're out of the 60s, right? If we are in unity with the Spirit, we're in unity with each other, and so we are one. How is it that we have to keep relearning the same lessons over and over again? I don't know, but we do. And I think that's one reason at the beginning of the prayer is this opening that opens us up. Our Father. So here's the practice. If we are if we are one, if by calling God Father or Mother or Source or means that not only am I in a different connection with God, but I am then and therefore in relation to all of those who are God's children, and I'm not going to see anybody this week, this year, or in my life that isn't. Now, how are you going to come in prayer? Jesus keeps using the word us or our. This week, try praying this way. Try praying nothing for yourself that you won't also and don't also pray for everyone else. And that includes enemies, because they're part of the same family too. Pray not so that we're somehow trying to buttonhole God and get God off to the side so we can kind of explain what we need, but recognize we come and are offering the prayers of us because that's who we are. Does that mean that I don't get to pray for the things I want to pray? What about that stuff? Well, of course you bring that. But just remember, Jesus says, but by the way, God already knows that. You're not telling God anything new. But when you pray this way, you begin to recognize that maybe the things that I am praying for and the way that I'm praying for that in my competing prayers may be even part of the problem of this world. And part of the healing and part of the solution might just be that as I am praying for the things that I need today, I am praying that everybody gets what they need today. And the things that I long for, the dignity and the security and the health and the care and the support, I get to pray and bring all of that to God, not because it's news to God, but because it begins to open me up. And now I get to join in with what God is doing in a new way. I don't become the person who's off to the side praying for things and somehow as if it were a zero-sum game. I'm going to get it. I win. Somebody else loses. I get that spot. Means somebody else doesn't. I get that liver. Means somebody else doesn't. What I am praying for is health. And I pray for security. And I pray for all those things. All those things that somehow signify we are one. How would we pray for our world this week? Because that's the invitation. We need daily bread, so does everybody else. We need forgiveness, so does everybody else. We need protection, so does everybody else. This week, the practice, it's part of that Next Steps resource that you can find online and as you walk out. One of the practices is this week, when you pray, don't pray for anything that you aren't going to be willing for and will pray for everybody else. Because in that, our prayers become part of the answer that inspired our prayers in the first place. They become the answer to the very things that are at the core that need to be healed. And they become part of the gift that we have been given. Does prayer change things? I'm going to talk more about that next week. But the first thing that Jesus says, pay attention to, yes, prayer changes things. Beginning with us. Beginning with us. And it begins with two simple words that if we open ourselves to them, will open ourselves to that thing that we pray for, that the will and the reign of God would be here on earth, here and now. And wouldn't it be great if we had a reminder of that? Wouldn't it be great if there was something that was tangible that maybe Jesus would give us that would remind us that we are connected, that we are reconciled to God as Father, and that we are all part of one? Wouldn't it be amazing if we had something that, as we pray this, that is the extension of that prayer? It is the sign, the symbol, the source that keeps us going. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing that somehow that the essence of the Lord's Prayer is also the essence of this great table? Because isn't that what this is? Isn't that what we come to celebrate today? It was on the night that Jesus was betrayed that he took the bread and broke it. And he said, here, take, this is my body. It's broken for you. From this one bread, take that all might eat. And the church has been doing this for 2,000 plus years as a reminder of who God is and who we are to become and what God is doing in our midst. And then at the end of the meal, traditionally the cup of blessing, Jesus took, said, here, this cup, it's my blood. It's my blood shed for you. This is the new covenant, the new meeting place between God and humanity. As often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink this cup, do it remembering me. From this one cup, from this one bread, we are one. If we are reconciled to God, if we have been made one with God, then we are one with each other. And all is one. In just a few moments, I'm going to invite you to, as we hear the music, to take some time to consider what it is to take these elements this day. The bread and the juice, and you can figure out how to get to both. As we take those and partake of them together, to whom are we coming? For whom do we exist? Who are we becoming? In your own way, in your own time, whether here or wherever people are experiencing this, let's come and receive the gift that God has given. What are we praying for today? It's possible that you will find yourself in a Costco parking lot and you will be praying, oh Lord, let me somehow find a spot that's in the same zip code this week, and one will open up and you will see it, and as you see it, you'll see a car that's coming down with a single parent and about four kids, and they look really frazzled. And it's possible that you will wave them in. Did you get what you prayed for? That's the question. Does God change things? Yeah. Beginning with us. I invite you to stand this morning as we pray this day. And we will close with the Lord's Prayer. I don't think we're quite ready to grab hands and do all that. So here's another way that we get to express our community and our unity and solidarity with each other. This is a prayer that just means I am holding people in my heart. I would invite you, as if it feels comfortable to do this, is to just be in a stance of prayer like this. If it's another way that feels better, whatever it is that helps open you up and incorporates the prayers of all those around. We come this day to gather, O God. We come this day to learn of you and who we're to become. We come this day praying. We come this day to gather that we might depart to serve. We pray that all the obstacles to your will being done here on earth would be removed, beginning with us. We surrender ourselves, we yield ourselves over, not because those things are bad, but because they are too small. They're not enough. And what we are praying for is much bigger. And oh my goodness, so much better. And so we offer ourselves to you this day. Who we are and who we're yet to become. Using the prayer that you gave us. Hear us, O God. Hear us as together we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace and have a wonderful week.